The presidential election has begun, literally. More than 64 million absentee ballots have already been requested or sent to voters in 30 states and the District of Columbia, which means people are casting their ballots as we speak. We wanted to take a look at how this factors into the ground game for presidential candidates Joe Biden and Donald Trump. How are they campaigning in key states during this pandemic in order to solidify their support and win over those elusive, undecided voters? For this conversation, we have with us Republican strategist Matt Mikowiak and Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons. Welcome to you both.
Hi, good to be here.
Hey.
So how does this evolving election day, where ballots are literally being filled out right now, play into the way these candidates are campaigning, where money is actually being spent, where they choose to visit, and in what order they make those visits? And I'll start with you, Matt.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're going to see a larger share of the overall vote cast ballots by mail this cycle than we've ever seen. And I think at a minimum, that's going to be more people choosing to vote by absentee who are eligible to do so. And then in some states where mail ballots are being sent out, even if they're not requested, you're going to see even a higher share of the votes being cast by mail. Look, it obviously moves up. I think Jamal would agree with this. It moves up, the beginning of the get out the vote, period of the race. You know, normally that might begin maybe 96 hours or 72 hours before election day. But if mail ballots are already being cast in some of these states, you're getting to a point where persuasion is not going to be as valuable, and it's about turning out people you've identified. I think data is a big part of this too. The campaigns that have the best data are going to be taking people out who have cast their ballot. They're not wasting time communicating, knocking on their door, calling them, mailing them. They can really become far more efficient as people turn their mail ballots in. So we're in a little bit uncharted territory because it's going to be a higher share of the overall vote than it's ever been.
Sure. Jamal, when President Trump visited Arizona last week, some voters noted that Joe Biden had yet to visit the state. This month, Joe Biden himself has physically touched down in about 13 places, as opposed to President Trump, who made about 17 campaign stops this month. Some are saying Biden is running a more sophisticated campaign, but do you think that he could be underestimating how much voters like to see their candidates in person, or at least visiting their states in spite of the pandemic?
The Democrats are far out on the ice right now, and nobody knows where the soft spots are. The problem is the pandemic. And so normally this time of year, every 4 years, we're all in, all those states that are getting the pumpkin patches ready out in Michigan and Wisconsin and Ohio, doing the campaigning. But you can't do that this year because the virus is happening. And the thing that's different about Democrats than Republicans is that Democrats actually believe the science. And so they don't want to go to super spreader events where they're going to be cheek to jowl with a bunch of people they've never met before in their lives, breathing on each other without masks on.
But the Republicans seem to be okay with that. Well, to your point, though, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but Trump's strategy has been stopping at airports and having these rallies where he's not up against people, but he does show his face in particular states. So how does this sophisticated campaign from Biden's camp, which is focused on the pandemic and social distancing, speak to those who are undecided and exhausted by months of pandemic restrictions?
Yeah, Donald Trump's not up against the people, but the people are up against each other. And so this is what I'm getting at. Democrats and the people who are more likely to vote for Joe Biden are people who believe the scientists who say you should not be doing that.
I'm thinking about the way that appearances are made from the candidates. As I mentioned, Trump is stopping at a lot of places, but these are airport visits. Let's take a look at just this week. For the last two nights in a row, Trump has held outdoor rallies at airport hangars to get around coronavirus rules, where he speaks without a mask to a pumped up crowd. In Pittsburgh last night, he spoke for nearly 2 hours. Let's listen.
We will make America strong again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And we will make America great again. Thank you. Thank you, Pennsylvania. Thank you.
So, the airport hangar visit, I think, has a couple benefits to it. One, it limits the amount of time that you're on the ground and allows you to do more more activity, right? If you're not having to get in a motorcade, drive to a location, do the activity there, then drive back. I mean, you're cutting 30 minutes to an hour in drive time. But the second thing I think that's important is that these are large venues. They are, I don't know if you'd call them open air. It kind of depends if they're covered or not, but some hangars have roofs and some don't. Either way, it's a little bit safer than being in an arena or in a, you know, high school gymnasium that's entirely enclosed. But you're right. I mean, there's a difference between the campaign Trump's running and the campaign Biden's running. The Biden campaign has specifically said that they don't believe door knocking is something that they want to be doing. And if you look at the Trump campaign and the RNC, I forget the number of doors they've knocked, but it's tens of millions this election cycle. And so we're going to see whether that makes a difference. I think it will. The Biden campaign is outspending Trump on television, but the Trump campaign is outworking Biden's campaign on the ground.
In many of those key states, like Wisconsin, for instance, Biden leads with 48 percentage points, according to the most recent Reuters Ipsos poll. Are those stops really going to help in his effort to try to get voters who are undecided, or are they really just to rally his base?
Yeah, I think they're probably more focused on the base, to be honest with you. Of course, the issue set that's in front of the voter is going to affect undecided voters. We've seen the introduction of the Supreme Court as an intense and urgent issue just since Friday, which is going to, I think, re-scramble this race a bit. You know, you have a lot of ways to reach undecided voters. Going to an airport hangar, in a battleground state is not one of them. You're using digital ads. You're hopefully using television. You're using direct contact through phones and doors. You're using mail. So there's a lot of ways that they can move people. I know the Trump campaign believes in these rallies, and it's not just because Trump likes doing them. It's because they say, based on the data they collect, that around 20% of the people who attend the rallies are generally Democratic voters historically.
Really?
I know that's probably hard for Jamal to believe, but if that's true, I mean that could be a huge difference maker in these battleground states where the margin's so close.
Well, Trump will be in Charlotte, North Carolina tomorrow, his fifth visit. What's his message there? And will he even bring up health care, which is a big issue there? His next Supreme Court may strike down Obamacare. He's expected as soon as tomorrow to roll out an executive order that somehow protects coverage of pre-existing health conditions, which, of course, is what the Affordable Care Act does. Is he winning or losing support there because of it?
Are you asking, is he winning or losing support based on healthcare?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, look, healthcare has traditionally been an issue where Democrats have an advantage. And they used that advantage to their own benefit in 2018 when in suburban congressional districts they ran on the pre-existing condition issue. I don't think the court's going to strike it down, certainly not entirely. It may have a partial ruling. It may get sent down to lower courts. And even if it did get struck down, there is a bipartisan consensus that they want to protect pre-existing conditions in whatever would replace Obamacare. But no, that's not really an issue where they can go on offense. I do think he may talk about things like Medicare for All, which are really expensive and would end the private health insurance coverage that people have. But the opportunity for Trump is to go on offense on issues like the economy, on the Supreme Court, and then on crime in our cities and what he would do to help protect people. Those are the issues where he has the advantage, particularly on the economy. He's got a significant advantage over Biden. The more he talks about the economy, the better he'll do.
Jamal, I want you to weigh in here on this.
Yeah, in general, I think what's happening right now is Matt has gotten the technicalities right. People are really doing turnout right now more than they're doing a lot of persuasion. I have a friend who is focused on this campaign every day, and his belief is, and his organization, is that anybody who's still undecided is probably a Trump voter because it's so hard to be undecided about Donald Trump at this point. You've got all the information that you need to know. So the question is, but Joe Biden, luckily, is polling at around 49, 50, 52% in a lot of the states where he needs to win. So they've just got to turn their voters out. And as I was saying before, the tough part for Democrats is Democrats are flying with one eye closed because you can't. Democratic voters are more likely to believe the science, and so they don't want to be face to face with a lot of strange people. And so you can't same door knocking that the Republicans can do, or the big rallies that Republicans can do. And so they've got to do it in a more digital way through text messages, emails, phone calls.
What are you both watching closely strategy-wise in the coming weeks with the short amount of time I have with you? I'll start with you, Jamal.
Oh, I'm certainly watching this turnout. Obviously, the Supreme Court conversation is going to be a big one on the Democratic side. But getting it back to the question of the virus and who can handle the crises that we have is the ground that Joe Biden needs to be on. Of course, the biggest thing are going to be the debates.
And Matt?
Yeah, Tuesday's debate, I think, is going to be consequential, perhaps the most important presidential debate since 1980. You know, Biden has to prove that he's up to this, that he's able to handle tough questions, that he's able to stand on his own record and take the incoming from Trump. And Trump's got to continue to demonstrate that this is a choice election and that he is worthy of a second term.
That's Republican strategist Matt Mikowiak and Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.